sinful activities of so many demoniac kings. And all full reactions, many fold. Everywhere, sin was piling up. So the earth could no longer bear this weight. And therefore, in great distress, went before Lord Brahma, who then sympathized. And subsequently, Lord Brahma, accompanied by Lord Demigods, went to the ocean of milk where Lord Vishnu was resting. And then the Lord transmitted a message to Lord Brahma that soon he would appear and that all the demigods should take their birth in the family of the others. And Krishna then came to this world. Krishna performed his pastimes, and Krishna somehow arranged it that many demons were to be killed. Putana, the first one, was impressive. Up to 20 kilometers tall in her natural condition. Not only that, drinking blood of babies as a means of pleasure. So, kind of an intense personality. But Putana is remembered not for what she did, but Putana is remembered for what she received. The most outstanding element in all of Putana's pastimes is not that she was 20 kilometers small, not that she took this form of an extremely beautiful woman, not that she entered the house of Nanda Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj wasn't there, and all the sort of most of the men had gone with Nanda to Mathura to pay the tax. So actually only ladies and old men were there. And when Putana walked into the village, the eyes of the old men popped out of their sockets. And you know, the ladies, when they saw her, they thought, she's incredible. There's no woman like her. She must be a goddess. And because a goddess had come and went naturally to Krishna, logical, of course, Krishna is so wonderful. Of course, a goddess would come to Krishna. That's something to be expected. Ah, and see, she was totally overwhelmed by love for child Krishna and trying to breastfeed him. Oh, just see. Oh, so nice. And it is said that, but at a glance, he thought this child can destroy the entire universe. And Krishna sucked that breast, sucked the poison, which he disregarded. What is poison going to do to him? So he sucked the milk, which he accepted as a loving offering, and were not fair to finish off the demoniac nature of Putana, he said also. But as he was sucking out her vital energy, Putana felt great pain, and as a result, she was no longer able to maintain that disguise. So she started to take her original form. But at the same time, she was trying to pull this child of her breast, and with his little hands, he held on and squeezed extremely hard, which increased the pain many fold. So then she just started running, and as she ran, she grew in size to her original form and ran to the edge of her dam and smashed on the ground right in the middle of Kamsa's favorite fruit orchard. So that certainly was a nice arrangement, but nicer still was that Putana was given the position of a mother. Now Krishna, of course, has many mothers, not only his soul, but so many ladies, Mother Krishna. They're all around him, mothering him all the time. So she became a doctor, a nurse who was sort of mothering Krishna in the spiritual world. Putana is remembered again and again for that inconceivable mercy that she received. It is that what we are thinking about, the mercy of the Lord. That is the topic tonight. The inconceivable mercy of the Lord. So it begins with Putana. Putana is the evidence of the causeless mercy of the Lord, the undeserved mercy of the Lord. See, what did Putana do to deserve the mercy? So then it says that later on, the Lord renounced all the calves and cowherd boys. Then there were so many, then Krishna took the place of all these calves and cowherd boys for 1 year. And all these calves, they were breastfed by the cows. So it says all those cows were also breastfeeding Krishna, just like Putana. So did they not get the position of mothers? Oh yes, they surely did. They also became Krishna's mothers in the spiritual world, and even closer, more intimate than Putana naturally. So in this way, how great is the mercy of Krishna? When even the service which is offered mixed with poison is accepted, and Krishna is overlooking the poison and only accepting the good offering. So that is something that's encouraging. So mercy begins with encouragement, because we feel that our service is mixed with poison, our service is mixed with impurity, with envy, with lust, with greed, and all these things. Then who can say that he is so pure? So the poison is there. The poison is in our mind. Poisonous thoughts are there. Sinful thoughts appearing so many times. Sinful desires, poison has entered in so many ways. We make an offering to Krishna of service, but it's always mixed with that poison. But see, still there is hope, because Krishna tends to disregard poison. He looks for that service. So just see. But this pastime is very important. Very important, the Putana pastime. And that's why Srila Rupa Goswami also highlights it in the Nectar of Devotion elsewhere. Now we are reading about Akrura, who is speaking about relieving the burden of the earth. And Krishna relieved the burden of the earth. But at the same time, alright, relieve the burden of the earth, remove all the sinful reactions that are stored all over the planet. And right now, the world is a mess. Who will deny it? Everyone, it's easy to figure that out. Right? But disregard it. Even if Krishna would remove all the sinful reactions that are touching the earth, then all the deserts would disappear. Then everywhere grains would grow naturally. Then jewels would be widely available, and gold would be found without digging. Herbs, natural herbs, would be there in the forest that would rejuvenate and strengthen everyone's health and body. Everywhere, fruits would grow naturally on their own. Everywhere, deer and antelopes would roam in the forests. If all the sinful reactions of the earth would be removed, then even the influence of Satyayuga would return. And then what? Then still not seeing Krishna. So just seeing Krishna is the only thing that can satisfy just becoming free from the suffering of sinful reactions. Liberation from suffering. So what? Still suffering if you don't see Krishna. Only by seeing Krishna can one feel satisfied. And if one sees Krishna, then who cares about any sinful reactions? What does it matter? These things become totally insignificant. What does it matter? Seeing Krishna, therefore, is the only real mercy. Therefore, devotees, those who are in separation of Krishna, are always desiring to see Krishna. That is their nature. Therefore, mercy of Krishna means that Krishna reveals himself. That's mercy. It is said that the secondary benefit, the external benefit of the holy name, is that it destroys all sinful reactions. We're chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and it is said that all sinful reactions are destroyed. People, once Brahmanas have assembled and were glorifying the chanting of the holy name, it destroys all sinful reactions. Just like it says, it destroys the sinful reactions at the root, just like the sun is dissipating fog. All right. Haridasa Thakur pointed out, na avasaita sarva-bhava-ksaya. Just by the dim reflection of the holy name alone, all the sinful reactions will disappear. For that, you don't need Sudanam. For that, simply if the name is chanted in an impure state, just simply if the name is repeated, Krishna, Krishna, done. No need for chanting with love to destroy sinful activities. Nam nam yati shakti papaniravane hare. By chanting once, more sins are destroyed than one can commit in a lifetime. Hare Krishna. More sins destroyed than one can commit in a lifetime. I mean, I can commit a lot of sins in a lifetime. If even the ones that I already did commit is impressive, what can I say?
The table was filled, and one devotee,
walked straight into the lake, into the temple, and he knocked over all the drinks. And Kritikara said, "Are you all right? Did you hurt yourself?" Which is sort of special, right? Most people would say that. "You idiot! What have you done? How could you knock over the table?" I would have certainly said. So he was very friendly and nice. But then fate had it, that he fell down. And fate had it that he contracted HIV. And fate had it that he didn't know, and that the Indian government, they did a blood test and of all the foreign residents, and they came in the country, and one day the police came with guns and they just arrested him and took him away, never saying one thing. And that's the last time I was in. And they wouldn't tell me also why. Finally, I said, he's going to be deported. I said, why? What happened? What did he do? And he fraud. Finally, when he got deported, they told me on the condition that I wouldn't tell him. So I thought, okay, I wouldn't tell him. And I slipped him some money, and then I spoke to him on the phone when he landed on the other side. And then I told him, I said, "Remember the blood test? You tested positive." And he said, I am on the phone on the other side of the mentor. "Oh, what is really happening is that Krishna is actually mercy of Krishna simply is when Krishna is touched by our endeavor. That's enough. That's enough. Somehow or other, Krishna person, so it's not that, it's a matter of that pure devotional services is to be measured in by scales. Pure devotional service is measured by how much we please Krishna, and then some imperfection is overlooked when Krishna is pleased. Krishna will make some arrangement for it to be purified. That's like we see in the story of this devotee. He made some offenses in Vrindavan, got severe reactions, and just burned it all up. Then continued with his eternal service. Simple. We are looking at Buddha, we are looking at how fortunate these such devotees are, that they are so close to Krishna. So Uddhava is to us a role model, is a source of our meditation. Because just like Uddhava entered into Vrindavan, and Uddhava saw the residence of Vrindavan, Uddhava saw that he always thought of himself as a devotee, and now he realized he had no devotion at all. So, same for us. Again, we can recognize ourselves, we can say, yes, where am I in comparison to all these personalities described? So, but we are hearing about such personalities and following them. We read about them and we get to know them. We get to know them very closely. One must know Uddhava. One must know what Uddhava did. One must know what Uddhava said and so on. We must read about Uddhava so that we come close to Uddhava. Then when we begin to know Uddhava, then we can approach Uddhava. And through Uddhava, we can go to Vrindavan. In this way, we go through all these devotees. So this is the amazing thing. It's not just stories, Maharaj predicted Uddhava, and all these kind of personalities are oceans of mercy, and reading about their lives is actually a great source of strength and gives us an understanding how to approach Krishna. So these are all the Mahajanas, Mahajana Yoga Plus. We must follow the path of the Mahajanas. So this nature of devotion is very important. It counts like one of the principal books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nature of Devotion. On par. I mean, this is so important. And one of the crucial books to read. We must deeply study it again and again. And it actually creates like a pillar in our spiritual life. All these short little references, it's like highly condensed essential quotes exactly what to do in our spiritual life. It is here where we can begin to appreciate actually what sadhana is, what actually devotional sentiment is, all these things, what goes on in the mind of an advanced Vaishnava. It's all here. It's all here. So here we can mirror ourselves in these personalities. We can see where we are, where they are, and gradually try to get there. So everything comes by chanting Hare Krishna. Absolutely. By chanting the holy name, automatically everything will be revealed. But as everything will be revealed, we become more sensitive to all this transcendental knowledge. Yeah. So it's not that I say Krishna Hare Hare and suddenly one day love for Krishna. No, there is in between. We become more and more aware of actually what if Vaishnavas, what is on Vaishnava's mind? So the secret of what is on Vaishnava's mind, that's in the nature of devotion. Could be a subtitle. What's on the Vaishnava's mind? The nectar of devotion. Sweeter than sweet. Is there any question?
Stating you have to increase your chanting.
gradually until you chant 300 Dhamma names a day. He's stressing that in several books. Of course, Prabhupada can stress that for us. He found another way. He found a way for us. Must be always engaged. Always engaged in service, always. And 24 hours engaged in service, always in service. So, but always in any of the 94 processes. Always. Some service. And he creates some practical service. At the end of the day, if we are weak, just take shelter. Keep on taking shelter. Take shelter of Vaishnava behavior so that we don't make offenses. Take shelter of prasada so that the senses will get some juice. Take shelter of devotees so that we get inspiration. Like these three things. Take shelter of Vaishnava behavior so that we can afford advances, because that can destroy anything. The senses are wild. Give them lots of prasada. Stay with the devotees, because where there are devotees, there is devotional service. So these three things can save us. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. Super. Keep going.